Welcome to another Carlin Laidlaw Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Sean, the AFL is up and running.
It is up and running. We've had, how many games have we had now?
Three
games, and we've got the hubs going. So we've got the hubs up on the Gold Coast, and we've got, obviously, Victoria hub going as well. And maybe the Victorians just have to stay put at the moment because coronavirus has come back and hit them pretty hard.
Yes, but I hear the next round of the hubs is coming up and going to Western Australia, and a couple of teams from Victoria will be heading over there.
Yeah, well, they've been talking about that, but it's interesting, like, as we've, you know, this week that's been unfolding, there's been double digits of coronavirus, new ones every day in Victoria, so you're going to have to think that's going to be, and Western Australia, we're pretty tough on travel.
Yes.
So they might turn around and say we don't want Victorian teams, especially with the Essendon player testing, negative, positive. I can't even know what happened in the end.
It's tough, although they can still go to West Australia. They just have to isolate for the period of time, 2 weeks or whatever it is. You know, when you look at the Premier of Victoria coming out and saying that who would want to go to South Australia? Well, most people would keep away from the coronavirus, I suppose.
Well, I agree. And like, I know we always get slammed for being sort of the old country town, the backward town, time stops. But really, when you look around the world right now, is there a much better place to be than Adelaide?
I feel, South Australia generally. I feel safe.
I do. And it's like we did a very good job of dealing with this crisis, and we're in pretty good shape. So, and not only that, one of our football teams is on the top of the ladder.
And one of them are on the bottom.
So let's talk about, so obviously Port and Adelaide, well, they're up in the Gold Coast now, but they played each other here. And they played a game prior to going up there. So, but Port Adelaide find themselves on top of the ladder with three good wins.
Yeah, they actually beat the surprise team this year, Gold Coast, by 8 goals. You know, early in the year, and then of course they walloped the Crows by 12 goals or something. Then they beat the Dockers reasonably comfortable. So, yeah, they're deserving to be at the top. Whereas the Crows lost that heartbreaker to Sydney by 3 points, and then obviously the Port game, and then they lost to the Gold Coast by 8 goals. They'd never lost to the Gold Coast, ever.
No, and so there's been, isn't that, like we've talked about this before, isn't it? Like, as soon as, we've only played 3 games, and already everyone is all over Adelaide in terms of what they're doing, where they're going wrong. I've even heard people talking about got to get rid of the coach.
Already.
This is how hard it must be to be in Adelaide. But it's not just Adelaide. I mean, like, we see some of the interstate media, like the big stuff, having a crack at Adelaide as well. So it's been a pretty, it's been a baptism of fire for Matthew Nicks coming into coaching the Crows.
I think he's okay. I think you know, they'll sort of let him see out the season and go to next season, because it's such a, you know, a terrible time with the pandemic and everything. I mean, and I look at Tex Walker, who has not been performing this year, and everyone's on his back saying he should be dropped. But, and I've heard that before, but he's a big game player, and the circumstances are affecting so many players mentally that it just needs to get some normalisation about everything for everyone to find their feet and go forward. Some people, like Port Adelaide, have taken advantage of it, whereas teams like the Crows are struggling.
Yeah, that's right. And it wasn't, you think back to last year, of course, Ken Hinckley was under the pump and there was a lot of talk about getting rid of him. But now they're flying, but with 3 wins only, and looking very good. But now, of course, the talk is they're going to be in the finals. They might win the thing. And, of course, his job seems pretty secure. So it swings and roundabouts. So you can be a hero one day and you can be a zero the next day.
Yeah, and look, a couple of things about Port Adelaide. First off, with Brad Ebert, who originally started with West Coast, he's playing his 250th game this week for Port Adelaide against West Coast. So congratulations to another famous Ebert name.
I know, that's a big name in that club, isn't it? So I'm sure once again they'll be they'll be up and about to try and get a win. Not only for themselves, but obviously for Brad Ebert with that. And that's the big milestone, 250 games.
Yeah, and of course the Crows are playing Brisbane. And, you know, it's a game really they have to win just to quieten the crowd, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, they really, I mean, it's like anything. When you start a season with, you know, you're 0-3, you're really searching for that first win. So, I mean, I hope for their sake that they can. because it might get the monkey off their back and let people have a bit of breathing space.
You know, the style of game, I haven't watched a lot of the footy, but I did watch the first half of the Port Adelaide Crows game, and, like, the Crows come out of the box, kicked a couple of goals, and then they just seemed to be, you know, go missing. They struggled to get the ball out of the middle. Port were playing with a lot of energy. Port Adelaide was sort of, you know, up and about, and there was no stopping them. And it was a younger brigade. Some of the kids there was getting in, kicking goals, and just the whole way Port Adelaide played the game was exciting, whereas the Crows tended to not be able to put more than two passes together. They just struggled for any system at all.
Well, I mean, one of the big talking points for Port Adelaide has been how strong they've been in defence, and, like, keeping teams to, like, the Crows only kick 5-5, Gold Coast on the weekend 4-5, the Dockers 6-5. So, and their percentage, 243.8 is their percentage, which is pretty crazy, but I know it's early. But the talk's been about how strong their defence has been and how hard it's been to score against them. And the talk about the Crows has been that they're slow. You made that point about the young players for Port Adelaide, but you think maybe that Port Adelaide and Crows are just in different spots now, because a couple of years ago, Port was struggling. They've recruited pretty well, haven't they?
Yeah.
Whereas the talk, I mean, about with the Crows, I mean, they had a whole lot of soul-searching last year, a lot of players moving on. And they're probably now in that, they really are probably in that rebuilding stage.
Absolutely,
aren't they, where
yes.
There's going to be players, you know, like Tex Walker, he's getting canned at the moment, but we know he's a great player. But in the next year or two, like, they've got to do the same, like, as Port Adelaide. They've got to get some really good young talent and then build them up. So, and that's the thing, it's surely Adelaide Crows supporters realise where their team is at right now.
Well, you know, it reminds me so much of the Robert Shaw years when I think they started the season 1 year losing their first four games, and it wasn't a good year for them. I think they ended up with about 8 wins and they were right down the ladder, 13th or something. Then Malcolm Blight sort of come on board and switched everything around. Now, I don't think Matthew Nix is in the same category as Shaw, but I think he's been thrown into the fire a little bit after what's happened over the last couple of years with the Crows. The guy just needs a bit of support and just, you know, let his ideas come to the fore.
Exactly, I agree 100%. And that's what I think the Adelaide media and Crows supporters need to do. They need to go, well, I mean, this is a tough job.
Unrealistic expectations.
I mean, coming in at the end of last year with all the things going on, like, and the media just love to find that little bit, don't they, where they can needle and make those little sort of gaps in there and see what they can exploit. But let's hope the Crows get a couple of wins under their belt, and I'm not sure about you, but I hope that Port Power keep flying.
Yeah, I mean, look, this brings me to another issue in regards to Port Adelaide and to them wearing the black and white Guernsey. You know, traditionally, you either love Port Adelaide or you hate them back in the old SNFL days before the AFL started. Now, in effect, that Port Adelaide is now the Port Power in the AFL. But they've, because of Collingwood's colours, they've gone to these other colours with the teal and the black and white, and that sort of, a lot of the new supporters know Port Adelaide as that. Whereas there's a lot of ill feeling about the black and white because of the, whether it's jealousies or whatever. But there is a whole group of supporters of football that don't like Port Adelaide wearing black and white, which gives me a little bit of pause to think about this petition that's out at the moment, where they're getting people to sign this petition in regards to Port wearing the black and white at Crows games. But to a lot of other South Australian supporters, it's a little bit in their face. So why didn't they have
I don't understand that point. Like, from my point of view, and I'm not a passionate supporter of any team, so I'll put that on the table. But to be honest, I probably, if Port and Adelaide are playing, I go for Port, okay?
Yeah.
But from my point of view, like, Port Adelaide have a very big history. Some people like to say, oh, they're no longer that same club in the AFL. Well, I disagree with that. So if there's that history there, and I don't see any reason why Port can't wear their traditional Guernsey that they've had as part of their heritage, in when they play the Crows. And from my point of view, what's it matter what a Crows supporter thinks? Because no one's going to say, no one has a right to say to Crows, you can't wear your uniform. And so from my point of view, that type of petition is great for supporters of that club. They're garnering support from, and there's plenty of people who are not Port Adelaide supporters who are going to say, yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I just don't see the relevance of why another team's supporters should have an influence on what they wear.
Look, personally, I don't really have an opinion. And being a footy historian, like I said before, the transition from the Magpies to the AFL was the original Port Adelaide. That's my view. But I'm hearing people, not necessarily Crow supporters, but SNFL supporters, who are saying their sons bow out for Port Power, but they'll never bow out for the Port Magpies, the black and white. And these are the lost souls, so to speak, in regards to the ill feeling in regards to it. I don't know what the answer is, but I think it would have been better in the petition to say yes, no, or don't care.
That's not. The people who are running the petition are the people who are pro having that Guernsey, so they're not going to have that option. And it's not. That's what I say. That's why it's irrelevant. Like if there's a petition for a cause, you are garnering support for that cause, and so therefore you're lobbying the powers to be, in this case, obviously the AFL, to make a decision. So the AFL are going to get their own feedback from other sources, like Eddie Maguire, for example, in Collingwood. They've got their strong view, and fair enough, because they have their tradition as black and white. So they're all the things that have to play out. But I think great, well done for gathering support for that cause, and that's the idea of a petition. And if, again, in the end, if people don't like it, well, the decision is going to be made by the powers to be, which is AFL, isn't it? And I just don't see how it affects Collingwood or anyone else, especially the Crows, for example, when Port play Adelaide Crows here in South Australia, that they wear a traditional Guernsey.
You know, I think a lot of people have a lot of time on their hands. They come up with a whole lot of things, but I've heard this from a variety of sources. Four or five people have independently spoken to me about this. And
massive sample size. Now, you're an expert on statistics. Is that a big sample size?
Well, for the media, it is. If you get four or five people sort of bringing up an issue randomly without provoking it, that is a fairly large sample size.
You know what? I think that all South Australians should get behind Port Adelaide and their ability to wear their traditional Guernsey when they play here in Adelaide.
Well, that's your opinion, and I'm sitting on the fence on this one, mate, because
splinters.
Yeah, well, it's a iron fence, so it won't be splinters, mate.
but it might be more painful.
Yes, it might be. But look, talking about footy though, the SNFL is starting up sort of this week. I know this show is a little bit supposed to be time sensitive, but we've got to talk about what's happening now. And 5,000 people can go to Adelaide Oval this week, and I believe it's up to 25,000 the following week.
Yeah, well, that's the great thing about being in our state, that we're COVID-free and now nearly a month, which is fabulous. And so now the footy public and all sports, in fact, in that case, will be able to get along and see their heroes, their teams playing football, basketball, netball, soccer, whatever it's going to be. So it's a good thing, and it's been good timing. And now that, SANFL must be really happy that they're kicking off this coming weekend, and then, of course, off they go, and there'll be bigger and bigger crowds.
Now, I think that it's going to be a little bit of a mini test for this season because, as you're probably aware, the Crows and Power Reserves will not be in the SNFL, and I know a lot of people that stopped going to the SNFL games because of that infiltration from the AFL teams. Now, if they really want to make a difference, they can speak with their feet and get behind the SNFL teams now, because this season, even though it's a shortened season and it's affected by COVID-19 and everything like that, if they come out and really support the SNFL with the eight teams, that would send a fairly strong message.
Well, it's an important time, isn't it, for SNFL as a corporation to make sure they promote the game really well and make it accessible for as many people as possible. And I think you're spot on. Like, people have been starved of sport. That's been something that we hear all the time. So, yeah, if you're a get out there and support your team, get to the SNFL games. You're not going to maybe see an AFL game that often here this year. So get out there and support your SNFL teams.
Well, a little bit of good news that just hit my Facebook yesterday was they've decided to start the Major League Baseball season at 60 games. So that's some good news at least.
Well, that will keep you occupied for a little while.
So it's another Cardinal Lay Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
Sean Carlin.